Hello, Southwest, and welcome to the Realpolitik. I'm your host, Jackson Bogan, with my co-host, Ahmed Ahmed.
How's it going, folks?
And we are joined by Cameron Hinton.
Hello.
And Ramil Taguba.
Good afternoon.
And to wrap up the Southwest Shadows election section, we are here to discuss the final results of the election. Ahmed, tell us a little bit about the election.
All right, so just covering the actual just direct results of the election in the presidential race, the Democratic candidate Joe Biden got 306 electoral votes to Republican incumbent President Donald Trump's 232. In the Senate, Democrats are currently projected to net gain only one seat, allowing Republicans to likely maintain their majority in the U.S. Senate. And then in the House of Representatives, Republicans are expected to flip around 13 seats, allowing Democrats to narrowly hang on to their majority in the House.
Thank you for that information, Ahmed. Now, Ramil, what do you think about the presidential race and the final results of the election?
Well, I have to say it was a pretty big disappointment for the Republican Party. And I think there are a lot of leading factors, especially in 2020, that cost President Trump the election. But right now, I think that the Republican Party has moved on. We're focusing for the next 2 years to take back that House of Representatives and to make sure it's strong in the Senate. As for the election, I don't really think President Trump's lawyers have any real evidence. We saw Sidney Powell's argument. We saw Rudy Giuliani's argument. And even yesterday, their key witness was deemed not credible by several media sources. So the effort to take back the election is really going downwards. There's no possibility that we probably can. But we did make strong leads. In the House of Representatives, we took about 10 seats from the Democrats, and we've only lost about one seat in the Senate. So I think that overall, if we don't count the presidential election, the Republicans did great here.
Ahmed, do you have anything to respond to that with?
Yeah, so I don't think there's any doubt that Republicans, especially in congressional races, outperformed their polls and outperformed expectations. Most people expected Democrats to expand their majority in the House, not almost lose it. Most people expected Democrats to flip the Senate, gain enough seats to come close and have it potentially go to a runoff in Georgia in January. And most people expected Biden's win in swing states like Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania to be pretty comfortable between 4, 5, 6, 7 points even, and not, you know, less than a point each. So I don't think there's any doubt that, you know, Democrats certainly underperformed, but I mean, that they won at the end of the day. So.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I mean, regardless of how you look at the Republican Party's performance, let's compare this to 2016. It was the same thing where everyone was predicting the Democrats were going to overwhelm them, and against all odds, the Republicans won. But now it was kind of flipped. This was a very close race. And what else I thought was interesting was, I wonder how this will, the results of this election will actually make people view, more specifically, our voting system. Because before, a lot of people will argue for our voting system because it represents the states. But this election, our president-elect didn't actually have a majority of states.
So right, I think he...
I think that will make some voters think about their own election system, because if we're meant to be representing the states, that isn't what happened with this election.
Yeah, so I want to say one thing before I move on to Cameron, just to clarify. You know, when you talk about the race being close, nationally, the race actually wasn't close at all. Biden is on track to win the national popular vote by anywhere between 4 and 4.5 percentage points, which is the second largest national popular vote victory since 1996. So that's a really, really large margin. So when you talk about the race being close, you're talking about it being super narrow in key swing states like the tipping point states of Wisconsin and Arizona. So I think that, you know, plays really interesting into your point of about Americans thinking more about their electoral system, about how much it emphasizes states. I think, honestly, I think we're going to see a lot more elections in which the popular vote winner loses the actual election. And I think that's going to be very interesting for the future.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that point. Cameron, what do you think about the election results?
Going off of kind of what Ahmed said, I don't think it's a great thing that we're placing such an emphasis on the Electoral College, but at the same time, I do believe it's an important part of, you know, the election process. So I don't think I can really give my opinion one way or the other as to whether, like, the voting system's fair, but as for the election itself, it was definitely a little surprising to see how it played out in the end, because you had the Democrats, if I remember correctly, they were initially kind of underperforming, and then the Republicans took over for a bit, and then Democrats really came back in the last like few days of the election. So that was definitely surprising to see, and the reactions to it, such as people claiming voter fraud. I think it's almost impossible for there had to have been no fraud during this election to some capacity. However, I think the capacity is a very small one. I don't think it would have influenced the outcome of this election whatsoever, and the lack of evidence for election fraud right now, even after investigations, a relative lack of evidence, kind of compounds on that. So I think overall the election was pretty fair. Democrats, in my opinion, definitely got the lead, a large part due to COVID, which was interesting to see play out.
Okay, interesting point, Cameron. To kind of transition, as we all know, Donald Trump declared his victory very early on in the election. He said he was going to win. And a lot of his, I think a lot of his followers actually believed that. But it was interesting to see the media kind of turn on him. Even like Fox News said that this was irresponsible. Right. Conservative speakers like Ben Shapiro said it was irresponsible. It didn't even seem like a lot of his own supporters who are popular in the media-wise were on his side when he called it that early. And I think those figures turning on him actually kind of hurt. And I think it's kind of like a splintering in the conservative movement, because now it seems to be a more of a focus around Donald Trump specifically rather than conservatism in general. So I'm going to transition this because I know Ramil is a supporter of the Republican Party. Ramil, what do you think about this?
Yeah, going back to what you said, I think really it's splitting the Republican Party in two. We have radical Trump supporters, and we also have moderate Republicans who don't think that Trump should not do this. You know, he's done this several times. He's tweeted so many times about claiming victory, and really a lot of Republicans are trying to convince him to concede. We have Newt Gingrich, we have Fox News even. And a lot of this drama going on between the conservatives is really driving a rift in the party. If we go back to Ronald Reagan, the Ronald Reagan era, we can see how he united all Republicans. He really put them in one party, and that's what, because of that unity, that's what makes him a great idol in the Republican Party. And really, I think that probably Trump's arrogance is a leading factor of what cost him the election.
Ahmed, do you have anything to say to that?
Yeah, I think it's interesting that if you talk about divisions in the party, I think the divisions you're seeing are mostly with regard to elected officials and party elites. I think if you're looking to the people that voted for the president, I don't think there's much division at all. I think they're pretty unified that they believe the president won. I mean, most of the polls I've seen have shown it at like 70 or 80 or 90% of Trump voters believe that the president won the election, that it was a fraudulent win for President-elect Biden. So that's going to be really interesting in the future to see. I mean, you know, former conservative rock stars, people like Brian Kemp, essentially backstabbed by the president and his supporters for not siding with him in a coup d'etat attempt. So, you know, that's going to be really interesting in the future to see if they lose their primaries.
Yeah, I think that will be interesting. I do agree with the party elite point, but I think that's the thing. The polls aren't like unanimously supporting Trump. And I think that's also a problem because I think there are genuinely conservatives who were voting for Joe Biden. And that's the kind of splintering I'm talking about, where he's essentially trying to make himself the, like, it's like his own little movement, you know? It's becoming very far detached from the party itself in a lot of ways. And I think that will maybe be a problem for the Republican Party in the near future. But Cameron, what's your opinion on this?
I definitely agree that it seems to have created a divide, like the people who feverishly still believe in Trump, and about what you said for the future problems that could cause. That's a very real possibility. It really depends on how Joe Biden, you know, assuming he gets elected. I mean, assuming he becomes president, which is like almost guaranteed at this point, over the next 4 years, depending on how he does, that'll really have long lasting effects on how the Republican Party is viewed in general. Like, if he does great in general, then it's going to, in my opinion, suppress the Republican Party for the next like 10 or 20 years, maybe. Just leaving that long lasting impression in people's heads, because 2020 has been a very impactful year for a lot of people, so they're really going to remember this one, in my opinion. So, yeah, I think the divide it caused is definitely going to be interesting to see pan out.
Definitely a great point, Cameron. But to kind of transition, I think we should, for wrapping up the election, we should definitely talk about the third party candidates. Now, I definitely think that third party supporters of their candidates who didn't vote for a major party were much more fervent in their support and much more open about it, especially on things like social media. And we're showing a lot more support for their candidates. And I wonder if that will bolster the resolve of these third party candidates to keep trying, even though they lost by such a large margin. But I also think it's important to realize that a lot of people this election cycle were discouraging third party votes and saying to settle for Biden, essentially. And I think that also played a big part in maybe decreasing some people who may have voted third party otherwise, is the idea that this election was too important to vote third party and that they were wasted votes. And yeah, I definitely think that also played into it, because I don't think that many people, if given the choice of many candidates of many platforms, would have genuinely been like, oh, I love Joe Biden, or oh, I love Donald Trump. I definitely think there is a large group of people who would have liked an alternative candidate, but they had the feeling that this election was too important or that their vote didn't matter, which is kind of the mindset that plays against third parties.
Right. And on that note, I think it is true. I mean, people who voted third party in 2016 largely actually broke for Joe Biden this time around. So I think there was, you know, even libertarian voters from 2016. So I think there was a large subset of people who voted third party in prior years, not wanting to vote third party this time, out of like deep and genuine fear that the president would win re-election. So.
Yeah. So Cameron, what do you think about all the, that's a good point, Ahmed, but Cameron, what do you think about all the people like on social media? I don't know if you saw these posts like I did, but I constantly saw posts saying, don't waste your vote on third party. A vote for third party is a vote for Trump. Or on the other side, a vote for third party is voting for Joe Biden. You're wasting your vote. And a lot of Republican voters were also upset with libertarian voters, as they believed they would get the libertarian vote otherwise, which is not necessarily true. But it was a general feeling. And I think social media did play a big impact against the third party voters.
Yeah, I definitely have to agree with you on that one. I also saw the posts you're referring to. And honestly, it made me pretty upset because my opinion of third parties is that they should be a lot more relevant. Because if I had to guess, I'm not exactly a professional, but I think the large majority of people in the U.S. don't really love one of the two big political parties. Like, they like aspects of it, and they like one more than the other. But there's definitely, for most people, third parties that better suit their beliefs. And the fact that they can't really, not can't, but they're discouraged from voting for a third party is horrible, in my opinion. Because, as you said, the mindset of it being a wasted vote is what plays against them so much. When I think that, honestly, there's some third parties that would be a lot better for our country or just the general population that can't really ever get put into power as the political system stands currently because of the stigma against third parties or the situation they're in. And I'll be honest, I'm not knowledgeable on how to fix that. Like, I know there's alternate voting methods you can employ, but I'm not too knowledgeable on that. But I'd hope something is done about it within our lifetimes.
Good point, Cameron. Ramil, what do you think about third parties and the third party vote?
Well, I believe that in, you know, recent modern problems, the third party is really good at addressing those things. We're looking at the Green Party, we're looking at climate change. And nowadays, I think that really the two-party system, which would be Democrats and Republicans, is really a curse on American politics. Some of these ideas are, you know, completely original from third parties, and they are stolen by Democrats and Republicans. So I'm not really too knowledgeable about third parties. And I think it just goes to show that the influence that the two-party system has on American citizens and American voters are really suppressing the traction that the third party deserves, really.
I definitely agree with some of your points. But I think another major impact on this, and Ahmed, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure almost every election cycle, in recent times at least, it's every election cycle is the same thing. It's this election's too important to vote third party. This election's too important to vote third party. Don't waste your vote this election cycle. This specific election is too important to vote third party. And that just keeps happening over and over again. So if every election is too important to vote third party, when do you vote third party?
Well, I think onto the point that Cameron made, and I don't want to get too wrapped up into the third party discussion, but I think onto the point that Cameron made, you know, there are in this current system, there really is no good reason to vote for a third party unless you're, you know, confident that they can win. The only thing I can think of is I think there was a seat in the Wyoming House of Representatives part of their legislature, a seat that a Libertarian candidate flipped from a Democrat. I think that's literally the only example in the entire country that I can think of. But, you know, there are other methods of implementing election methods that, you know, can be implemented to improve the prospects of third parties, like ranked choice voting.
Yeah, let's not get too wrapped up into ranked choice voting, but I do agree with you. Yeah, there are better voting systems such as ranked choice voting. And that was partially what Cameron was bringing up, was he doesn't know the better methods, but he believes there are better methods. So just as a final wrap up before we end it here, do you guys think Trump's going to run again? If Joe Biden wins, do you think he's going to run next election cycle?
Yeah, I will say this. I would bet $100,000. I would bet any amount of money that he runs again. Yes.
Cameron?
Unless some health issue comes up, I genuinely believe he is going to go again.
Ramil?
He's definitely going to do it, and he's going to do it in a loud way. I heard that he's going to plan a MAGA event where he will announce his 2024 election run on the day that Joe Biden is inaugurated into office.
All right. And I'd have to agree with you. I think with Donald Trump's personality and what we've seen, if he, what is seeming right now, not going to be president, that he will run again, which I guess will be interesting to see for the next election cycle.
Right.
Until next time, I'm Jackson Bogan.
I'm Ahmed Ahmed.
I'm Cameron Inton.
And I'm Ramil Taguba.
And we'll catch you on the flip side.